We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, if you turn to that, while you're turning to that. Anybody had a birthday in the last week? Anybody enjoyed it? Kelly? Amen. Amen, Kelly. People are saying, can you stand up because they want to see you. Kelly, who else? Anybody else? Chilenzi? Tash, where's Tash? Oh, Tash. Tash as well. Amen. Ruth, are you standing up? Oh, okay. Amen. Anyone else? Oh, fantastic. Let's give them happy birthday. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kelly, Chilanzi, Tash. Happy birthday to you. Amen. May the Lord bless you. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray about the message, obviously, but we cannot really pass by without just praying about what's going on in America at this point in time. And that assassination attempt, which failed, thank goodness. And we just don't want that to be part of a political process. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are sovereign, Lord. Your patience, your grace, your love amazes us when we see what we are capable of as human beings. And yet, you saw fit to lay down your life for ours. It amazes us. And so, dear God, as we come at this moment to remember what's happening in America, we simply cry out to you and say, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. We pray, Lord God, for the person who lost their life, an innocent bystander. We pray for their family. You know them, and you know their grief at this time. Lord, we pray, reveal yourself to them in comfort, in strength, in healing, in power. And Lord, we pray for Donald Trump, irrespective of our political persuasion. This is not right. And we pray for his total recovery. And Father, we pray for the whole political process that goes on in the United States. We pray for peace. We pray for no reprisals. We pray for no further shootings. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, that it will be a peaceful process. And gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that as a nation, there will be a crying out to you in the moment of confusion. Reveal yourself in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray as we come around your word that you'll open it up to us, give us understanding, and give us the willingness to obey, to apply it to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Shall we say it together? If you know it, say it. If you can read it in your particular version. But it goes like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So this will be the third session in this. We've looked at Our Father on Father's Day, and we looked at the petitions, and we begin to look at the petitions. We began that looking at the reverence that needs to be given to the Father, hallowed be thy name. Of obedience that needs to be given to our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not all about us about praying, let my will be done. It's let your will be done at the end of the day. We looked at that. We looked at, we focused on obedience and being willing to trust God so much that we will obey. Because that's when it works. And now we will look at, give us this day our daily bread. And we'll see how far we get in the remaining four petitions. I mentioned that the Lord's Prayer can be used as a prayer in itself. But I also mentioned that as we look at these different pointers, it actually teaches us how to pray, what to ask for, what to include in our praying, to honor God first and foremost, our Father who art in heaven, to be focused on him. And in fact, the first three petitions, they focused on him, lifting us up from the normal stuff of the day to remembering we have a heavenly Father. We have a God who is sovereign over all. Now we come to the petitions in that prayer, which are more earthly, more about us, and still very important. So it begins, give us this day our daily bread. So the fourth petition is asking for his provision. Now, on face value, this is the easiest one of the lot because we're always asking. Amen? It's probably the most thing that we do when we come to pray. We're asking for this, we're asking for that. But let's open it up a little bit more. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. So there we have a command, an exhortation that we should ask of God as our Heavenly Father. In fact, we're chastised if we don't ask. James 4 verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. And I am continually blessed when people actually come and say, Pastor, can you pray about this, blah, 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 blah. Whether it be privately or whether it be in the service for a loved one. Because it tells me that those people believe in prayer. Amen? Amen? It tells me that they believe in prayer. That they it's not an imposition to ask for prayer. It's not a weakness to ask for prayer. It demonstrates faith when you are combining your prayer with others because of the desire you have for a breakthrough, either in your own situation or in the life of someone that you love. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, Jacob not only asked for his blessing, he also wrestled for it. Amen? He wrestled for it, if you remember. He rescued with that visitation, the angel of God. And he would not let him go unless he blessed him. And he wrestled so hard, it was through the night. Now, you can have different pictures in your head as to what that wrestling entailed. Was it, you know, holding him down and so, one, two, three. Was it that kind of wrestling? I don't know. Or was it that he, to wrestle through the night, was it engaging in a spiritual battle of prayer until he got the breakthrough? I don't know. But he wrestled for it so hard that he injured his hip. God put his finger on his hip to actually help him to let go. That's tenaciousness. Now, Jacob would have fitted really well into the East End. He was a little bit of a Del boy. And he got things in the wrong way. And he went about, but his heart was totally for God. He was kind of a lovable rogue. Anybody know a lovable rogue? You love them, but they're always a bit shady. That's what Jacob was like. And so, yeah. But what he was really good at is that he believed. So much so that he wrestled for the blessing of God. He really wanted it. Solomon asked for wisdom, and he got it, reputed as being the wisest man who ever lived. Because they asked. So, let's ask. Amen? Let us ask. And the fact is, God always answers. He answers yes, no, or wait. But he always answers. And it's up to us to respond to what answer God gives us. A sovereign God who owns all the resources of this world as well as the heavens says this in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Who better to ask from than him at the end of the day? But we don't just come to a landlord who owns all these things. It's more than that. We come to our Father who desires to give. Matthew 7, verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen? I had the privilege of taking a funeral a couple of days ago, at the end of last week. And it was a beautiful funeral. Lovely Christian lady. And it was very powerful because they included a little snippet while she was ill of her words to her two children, who were responsible now for the funeral. And it was powerful. It was powerful in sense of, she knew that she needed a breakthrough for healing. And she was believing for it. And then she used the phrase, but even if it doesn't happen, I know I have hope and I have faith as to what's to come. And that was powerful. It was one of those funerals where I didn't really have to preach. I just had to round up, really, because so much was said. That was powerful. And that was the last words, her words, as they listened. And it broke people. And what was great about it was this issue of giving. It was the most unusual Bible reading that was chosen. And it was all about giving in 2 Corinthians. It was where Paul was asking the Corinthian church to give sparing, generously to help other believers in some of the churches that had been planted. And as I was thinking of it, what is this scripture being read for a funeral? It's all about giving, but then you heard the rest of the testimonies. The one who read it said, we are reading this verse because this is Carol. This is what she was. She gave. And they weren't just talking about financially to the church. They were talking about her lifestyle of giving. She gave herself to her family, to her friends, everybody there. And then the testimonies that came, it was about this generous woman who just gave and gave and gave. In other words, as a believer, she learned from her father because he gave. She gives. But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believed in him, Jesus, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's giving on an unbeatable scale. And it's as if she learned that and received the forgiveness of God, and now she was practicing it in her everyday life. It was beautiful. Give us this day our daily bread. We have to pray for God's provision for the coming day. Amen? He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. And it's on a daily basis, because when you look at the story of the manna from heaven that was given to the children of Israel as they were wandering through the desert, on their way to the promised land. This is where it takes you back to Exodus 16. God sent them bread from heaven, and this manna fell on a daily basis. They were to collect it, dry it out, collect it, and they made bread from it. But if you tried to store it overnight, it deteriorated and became dangerous to eat. Don't eat it. And so it was literally on a daily basis. But this went through the whole period when they wandered through the desert. Manna from heaven. It's a lesson in trust. When you pray for your daily bread. How many of you have prayed for £1 million? Come. Don't be ashamed. See, £1 million would take care of everything. Yeah? It'd take care of everything. And then you wouldn't have to worry. The danger is then you wouldn't have to ask God. Amen? On a daily basis. But God is all about what you need. I remember John Lancaster, Pastor John Lancaster. He was our minister at the Elim Church in Leeds, where I got saved. And he was there. First 5 years of my Christian life was under him. And he told this story about a tramp in Eastbourne, where he previously was the pastor of the Elim Church in Eastbourne. And he said there was a tramp that gained a reputation in the town centre. And he built this reputation of asking only or taking only 20p. So if somebody came up to him with a tenner, fiver, or a 50-pound note, no, 20 pence. And that reputation built so that the whole town centre knew of this tramp. And word spread. And despite the handsome offers, it was, no, just 20 pence. Because he knew his daily routine, he knew what he needed for that day. And that's all he asked for. He didn't ask for £1 million. Shame on you. He asked for 20 pence. Because of his daily need. His dependence. Yeah, amen. And what does that say? Let's trust God. Let's trust God. And if the £1 million comes, praise God. Hallelujah. But he gives us what we need. And our part in asking is let God do his part, let us do our part. It doesn't mean necessarily just laying back and doing nothing. There may be some work involved on our part. So there's another story of a guy with an allotment. He got this allotment and it was a wreck. You know, there was bricks in it, there was stuff that had accumulated because it was unused and over a period of time and stuff. And so he began to clear it out. He fed it with food to get rid of the weeds and then to feed the soil. And he did all the stuff that was necessary. And lo and behold, over a period of time, a beautiful allotment emerged. And a Christian friend came to see him and wandered into his allotment. He showed him his allotment. And he said, wow, said the Christian, isn't it wonderful what God can do with a bit of ground like this, isn't it? And the guy said, yes, but you should have seen this bit of ground when God had it to himself. We can ask of God, he plays his part, but then there's also the part that we have to play. Amen? We don't just take it for granted. Ignatius, one of the early fathers, said, pray as if everything depended on God, and work as if everything depended on you. God has given us so much in this world, and we know that it's us who messes up the resources. Amen? But his greatest provision was Jesus. Amen. The fifth petition is all about forgiveness. Verse 12. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And this is probably the most sobering of all the seven petitions in this section. Through confessing our sin, we have received the forgiveness of God. Amen? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it seems to also say this forgiveness cannot penetrate fully unless we also practice forgiveness. If we hold on to unforgiveness, it damages our full understanding of what forgiveness is and literally could damage receiving further forgiveness for issues. And if looking at the way that it's worded, it could be read in proportion to your faith, to your forgiveness received, forgive others. So if we lack in our understanding of forgiveness, then it's going to be reflected in our ability to forgive others. If we refuse to give others, God will refuse to forgive us. Now that sounds harsh. It sounds harsh, but it's not unusual when it comes to the things of God. Matthew 5:8, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Ouch. Because I immediately think, well, I'm not perfect. Luke 6:36, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Oh. John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Now, all that seems impossible. It seems impossible to us because we know we're not perfect. And we know there is that person we would sincerely like to slap. But when we appreciate God's love to us, we can love. When we appreciate his mercy towards us, that we are undeserving, we can be merciful to others. And when we really understand his forgiveness towards us, it can help us to forgive others. Amen? R.T. Kendall does an amazing preach, which we heard him. I can't remember if it was at one of our conferences. He used to speak quite often at the Elim conferences. And he entitled it Total Forgiveness. Total Forgiveness. And if you've not been challenged already, be challenged by this. Six things he said about total forgiveness. And he took his sermon from Genesis 45, Joseph. Joseph, who had been abandoned by his brothers, beaten by his brothers, put down a well, sold as a slave to passers-by, ended up in Egypt, became a servant, a slave to Potiphar, was wrongly blamed by Potiphar's wife of trying to rape her when it was actually her who was making sexual advances towards him, and therefore he was thrown into prison again, not his fault. But through all that process, he actually became the prime minister of Egypt. And then, lo and behold, through the famine that endured, he gave the wisdom to Pharaoh as to how to deal with it. And that's how he rose to become the prime minister, the one who was actually dealing with getting the storehouses stacked for the famine that was to come, which God had told him would happen. And that's how he ended up being the prime minister. And lo and behold, who should walk through the door one day? Because as Egypt had all the store grains, other countries around began to approach Egypt and made it very rich because they wanted to buy grain because they were suffering the famine as well. His brothers walked in all these years later. Didn't recognize him because he was now Egyptian. He was garbed like an Egyptian, made up like an Egyptian. And so he had the choice of, he was now had the power to destroy them, get revenge, but he chose to forgive. So R.T. Kendall took his message from that story. Six things that he said about total forgiveness. One, let those who hurt you off the hook, because that's what Joseph did. He didn't wave their sin in their face. He just let them off the hook because now he understood something. He said, secondly, let go of blame. His response when his brothers came was, hey, don't blame yourselves. When they recognized it was him, they were at first shook with fear because they thought he's going to kill us. But he didn't. He said, hey, it's okay. You didn't send me here. God did. For such a time as this. Because he's now prime minister and he's got the idea to do all the grain and not only bless Egypt, but bless a lot of other nations around. God sent me here. So he let them off blame. Because we do like to blame, do we not? Three, make it easy for the other person. He didn't throw their misdemeanors in their face. He did the work, no expectation from them. He didn't expect them to do anything, even to say sorry. He didn't expect anything from them. He made it easy for them to be reconciled. Fourthly, it's a choice. It was he who kissed them and who embraced them. The ones who had caused him the most hurt and abandoned him and sold him as a slave, blah, blah, blah. He kissed them. Fifthly, forgive God. Forgive God. Because sometimes we secretly blame God for stuff that's happened in our lives. But he didn't blame God. In fact, he said, hey, God put me here. God put me here for such a time as this. And sixthly, forgiving ourselves. He did play a minor part in all that catalogue of tragedy that happened because he was the favorite son of his father. The other sons got jealous. And in naivety, he told them, basically in the visions that God gave him, that one day he would rule over them. He said it innocently because he was only young at the time, but that just made their rage even more. He was the youngest, and who does he think he is? So sometimes because of the things we do, we have to forgive ourselves as well. Accept it, forgive ourselves so that things can move on. When he'd finished preaching that sermon, everybody was on the floor. Because it's tough. Amen? Let those who hurt us off the hook. Let go of blame. Make it easy for them. It's a choice you make. Forgive God if there's anything there that you're blaming God for. And forgive yourself for your part in whatever's happened. Total forgiveness. The sixth petition is ask for help in times of testing. Lead us not into temptation. In modern ears, temptation sounds, or tempt sounds bad. It sounds negative. It means to seduce into some kind of wrong action. But in the Bible, when it comes to God, it means test. You can replace temptation with test. Not when you're talking about the devil, because the devil does tempt. He wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. He wants you to be destroyed. But for God, it's a test. Abraham was tested with Isaac, asked to basically use him as the offering. But then God provided the scapegoat. Amen? He passed the test because he was willing, but then was pulled back at the last moment by God himself. Jesus was tested by God in the desert with Satan. Hey, you can turn these stones to bread, said the devil to Jesus. You can jump off the top of this edifice and, you'll be caught by the angel. You can do it. And if Jesus had given in to that and done it, then he would have sinned. And none of us would be here. He passed the test. Job, with the catalogue of disaster that happened in his life, losing not only his property, but losing his children, losing all his possessions. And yet he still praised God. Lead us not into temptation. It's about us saying to God, Lord, help me demonstrate to you my loyalty, my strength of faith, my trust in you at the time of temptation. And the seventh and final petition, but deliver us from evil. And the evil referred to, yes, you could take it as abstract, but it's also personal. As surely as there's a God above, there is a devil below. As surely as there's a heaven, there's a hell. And that's his domain. And so when we pray this prayer, there is a kind of a personal touch to it as well. The devil is described as a murderer from the beginning, a liar, a father of lies, a deceiver in John 8:44, Revelations 12:9. Through him, actually, sin and death came into the world. It was he who tempted Adam and Eve, having rebelled against God. So let's not forget the source of all of this. It's him. Victory over the prince of this world was won once, and it was won by Jesus, who at the moment that the devil had thought had won the victory by nailing Jesus to the cross, was shocked to find out that that is exactly God's plan as to how to rescue us, rescue man from his sin, which needed to be paid for. And so at this moment of victory, it was his greatest defeat. Praise God. So when we pray to be delivered from the evil one, we pray to be freed from all evils, past, present, future, of which Satan is the author. Praise God. The victory is ours in Jesus. Amen? It's ours in Jesus. And that's why James 4:7 says to us, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It says, first, submit yourselves to God. Not my will, your will be done. Not my way, your way. And then secondly comes the ability, the power to resist the devil and he will flee, because he has no choice. Because we have the master. We are in relationship with the master who has defeated him. What a prayer. When you look at the Lord's Prayer, it's full of good stuff. Amen. Full of good things. And I would like us just to bow our heads. We've prayed that prayer so many times, but now this is your personal time. Your personal time. And I'm asking you not to respond to me, but I'm asking you to respond to the Lord, to what you've heard. And if God's been speaking to you, I implore you, I beg you, respond. Respond. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like come to the front. But what I am going to ask you to be honest right where you are and bury some of these things that need burying. Give up some of these things that need giving up. And be more positive. Respond to the things that God has promised you. Hallowed be thy name. Give reverence to your Father. You have a Father in heaven. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give obedience to your Father. Trust him. trust him at the time when it seems the most difficult to trust God. Trust him. He does know best. Ask. Ask for your provision. Lord, I want the whole world, but actually you know what I need. Therefore, give me my daily bread. You know what I need on a daily basis. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive. Forgive. Let it go. Because in proportion to how you forgive, you will be forgiven. And therefore it's for your benefit to forgive, tough though it may be. And do it not a little bit, but total forgiveness brings total freedom. Amen. And lead us not into temptation. Ask for your help in the time of need. Ask for your help in the time of temptation. So often we're good at retrospect. We've done the deed, we've done the run, then we look back and say, oh, I should have done this, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's at the time of temptation that we actually need the power, the strength, not to give in. Ask for his help. And finally, deliver us from evil. Let that not be part of my life. Let not the influence of the evil one be part of my life. But today I yield. I submit to you, Lord, 100%, so that I then have the power, the ability, through the Spirit of God, to resist anything the enemy throws at me. To resist any situation that comes my way. To deal with it in a godly way. I hope that you've prayed whichever of those petitions hits your need at this particular point in time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this prayer, which is not only a prayer we can say, and it's still of great value, but it's also a prayer that teaches us how to pray. It teaches us more of you, more of ourselves. And it builds our faith in and our trust in you. So, Father, as each petition has been mentioned and each ear has heard, I pray that each heart and each mind will yield and obey. And in that process, receive freedom in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Don't forget now.